On today's Mentally Stronger Friday Fix, let's say your partner has a health issue, but they've refused to see a doctor about it. You've expressed your concern, but they've insisted their health issue isn't that bad. But you know they're in pain. At some point, you're likely to hear a wish or a dip. A wish is when you hear something like, "I wish I could climb stairs without being in so much pain." Or a dip, which is a dip in motivation to do something that's hurting them, like, "I think I should probably stop hobbling around and just see the doctor." When you hear a wish or a dip, it's an opportunity to help your partner create positive change. That doesn't mean fixing them, but it does mean supporting their efforts to do things differently. Welcome to Mentally Stronger. I'm Amy Morin, a psychotherapist, mental strength trainer, and an international best-selling author of 6 books on mental strength. You're listening to the Friday Fix Edition. Every Friday, I share a quick mental strength strategy that can fix the thoughts, feelings, and actions that can hold you back in life. And the fun part is, we record the show from a sailboat in the Florida Keys. My new book, 13 Things Mentally Strong Couples Don't Do, went on sale this week, and I couldn't be more excited that this book is finally on the shelves. One of the things I did in this book that I've never done before in any of my other books is that I surveyed over 1,000 people to find out what they thought about mental strength and their relationships. And I found that 3/4 of people who answered the survey said that they thought their relationship would improve if they were mentally stronger. And 3/4 of people also said their relationship would likely improve if their partner were mentally stronger. So I was thrilled so many people recognized the link between mental strength and relationships. And while all of our relationships certainly affect our ability to be mentally strong, the people we're closest to certainly affect it the most. So if you want tips on how to become mentally stronger as an individual so you can be the best partner that you can, or you want to build mental strength as a couple, pick up a copy of 13 Things Mentally Strong Couples Don't Do, and I'll share how to get rid of the unhealthy habits that can tear down your relationship. And today I'm going to talk about one of those things that mentally strong couples don't do, which is that they don't try to fix each other. This is tough not to do sometimes. You might see that your partner has a ton of potential, or there might be something about them that you just don't like and you want to fix it. It's a common reason people come into my therapy office. They bring their partner in and they're intent on trying to fix something about the other person, but the partner often isn't on board. And often the person who wants change has tried really hard to get the other person to do things differently for a long time. I'm going to share a clip from chapter 6 of my book, of the audiobook. It starts with a quick story of a real-life couple straight from my therapy office, and then you'll hear a quiz that will help you consider whether you might try to change your partner sometimes. When the clip is over, I'll share some tips that can help if you find yourself trying to fix your partner sometimes. So here we go. Here's a clip from chapter 6 of 13 Things Mentally Strong Couples Don't Do. When Janice showed up for her first appointment, she said, "I need help talking some sense into my husband, Ken." She was a well-put-together 60-year-old woman who said she was relieved to finally have someone to talk to. She was tired of Ken's behavior and needed to know how to change him. She described Ken as an overweight 62-year-old who had diabetes. For the last 6 months or so, he'd been stopping by a bar on his way home from work almost every night. He told Janice it was the only time he got to talk to his fellow coworkers about the ridiculous changes they'd gone through at work. They were under new management, and some of the old-timers hated the new rules. Janice thought it was great that Ken could unwind with his work friends, but she was concerned about how the alcohol was affecting his blood sugar. When he was drinking, he was less careful about what he ate and less likely to test his blood sugar. She reminded him that he shouldn't be drinking, but he always brushed her off. She was also concerned that he was drinking on the weekends now, too, something he hadn't done for most of their marriage. "He used to be a social drinker," she told me, "but he started drinking at home more often during the pandemic. I wouldn't worry so much about his drinking if he were a healthy person. But with his health issues, even a drink or two was too much. When I asked Janice what steps she'd taken to try and address the issue so far, she said, "I've told him to cut back, dumped his alcohol down the drain, told him how much his drinking hurts me, and told him to go to AA meetings. Nothing has worked. I need another plan to get him to stop drinking before this gets completely out of hand." She said Ken always accused her of overreacting, and they got into frequent arguments about this. Janice said, "I'm afraid he's going to permanently damage his health if I don't fix this now." What she didn't yet realize was that she couldn't fix Ken. She could, however, change how she responded to Ken's drinking and work on their relationship, even if Ken wasn't on board. You'll hear more about how Janice worked on their relationship a little later. But for now, perhaps you can think of some ways in which you've also tried to fix your partner at one time or another. Maybe it didn't involve a substance abuse issue, but perhaps you tried to fix a habit that you don't like. Or maybe you tried to get your partner to change a character trait that you thought was holding them back. Either way, trying to fix someone else, even your partner, can backfire. Fortunately, though, there are healthy ways to deal with your partner's habits that you don't like. And there are strategies that can help you cope when you feel like they aren't doing enough to live up to their greatest potential. Here's a quick quiz. Take a few minutes and see how many of the following statements sound true. I try to trick my partner into making healthy changes, sneaking vegetables into their food, or hiding their alcohol. I give my partner unwelcome feedback on their behavior. I sometimes feel more like my partner's parent or coach. I think I've made my partner's life better because I've helped them improve so much. I sometimes lecture my partner about their unhealthy habits. I invest a lot of energy trying to convince my partner they should change their habits. I spend a lot of time talking to other people about how I'd like to get my partner to change. I feel sorry for my partner sometimes. My partner has so much potential, and I want to help them reach it. Now that you've answered these for yourself, read through them again and think about how many might describe your partner's behavior. If several ring true about you or your partner, you may be spending a lot of energy trying to fix one another. Okay, that's the end of the clip. And right after this quick break, I'm going to share what happened with Janice, and I'll give you a couple of strategies that can help if you find yourself trying to fix your partner sometimes. Brainstorm. What's something that works so well that it's basically magic? Air conditioning? Noise-canceling headphones? Meeting-free Fridays? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the did we just hit $1 million stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/mentallystronger, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/mentallystronger now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/mentallystronger. In treatment, Janice learned a few things she could do to change her behavior. She certainly couldn't control her partner, Ken, but she found some ways to change her behavior. And the changes that she made ultimately inspired some changes in Ken. By the time she was done with therapy, they were fighting a lot less, and she was able to start talking with Ken about his drinking in a healthy way, which was important for his health, but it was also really important for their relationship. It's tough, though, when you watch your partner do things that aren't good for them. In fact, it feels like torture to see somebody you love doing things that might be sabotaging themselves, or just watching somebody not live up to the potential that you think that they have. It feels painful. But trying to fix them doesn't work. If you're tempted to ever try and fix your partner, though, here are two things that can help. One, express your concern, but share it once. You might be tempted to repeatedly tell your partner things like, smoking is bad for you, or you should really go see the doctor. But lecturing somebody often has the opposite effect. Let me explain why. When you tell somebody they should quit doing something or they should start doing something else, their brain immediately goes into defense mode and they start defending against all the things that you're saying. So let's say you tell somebody they should quit smoking. Their brain immediately starts thinking things like, actually, smoking helps me relax. And smoking's not going to kill me. It hasn't killed me yet. And smoking breaks are really the only thing that gets me through a long day at work. When that person thinks about those positive aspects of smoking or what they get from it, it actually increases the chances that they'll keep smoking. So you can definitely express your concern, but do it in a loving way. You might say, I'm concerned about X, not you need to change. Then listen to see if your partner shares the same concern. No need to argue or keep repeating it. Like, they heard you. They know that you have a concern. And keep in mind that your reasoning someone should change might not be the ultimate motivator that actually makes them change. So you might try to convince your partner to quit smoking because of the health risks. But when they do quit, it might be about something completely different, like they want to save money. So express your concern, but express it only once. And number two is look for wishes and dips in motivation. Even if somebody isn't interested in changing, you'll hear what we call change talk. And that will come in a form of a wish or a dip. So let's say your partner has bad knees and they've refused to see a doctor about it. You've expressed your concern and they insisted that their knee issues weren't that bad. But you see that they're in pain and you see them limping around. At some point, you're likely to hear a wish or a dip. A wish is when you hear something like, I wish I could climb stairs without being in so much pain. Or a dip is a dip in motivation to do something that's hurting them, like, I think I should probably stop hobbling around so much and just see a doctor. When you hear a wish or a dip, just repeat what they said to encourage them to talk more. So you could say something like, oh, you think you might want to see a doctor? Avoid jumping in and saying, oh, yes, you should. Let's make that appointment right now. Remember that people believe the words coming out of their mouth more than they'll believe the words that they hear you say. So you want them to say what they want to do. And by being a good listener and asking helpful questions, you can increase their motivation to change. So while it's not your job to fix somebody, you can express concern and look for wishes and dips and encourage them to keep talking so that ultimately they become more motivated to change. My book has lots more tips if you're tempted to fix your partner or if your partner's trying to fix you. Go ahead and check out 13 Things Mentally Strong Couples Don't Do if you want more. You can buy a copy wherever books are sold. And if you know somebody who could benefit from learning how to stop fixing their partner, share this show with them. Simply sharing a link to this episode could help someone feel better and grow stronger. And make sure to subscribe to our show so that you can get mental strength tips delivered to you every single week. If you want even more content, subscribe to Mentally Stronger Premium. You'll get exclusive bonus episodes and access to the private Mentally Stronger community. So far, I've been answering questions on everything from affairs and depression, holiday family issues, to pornography addiction and relationship red flags. I'd love to answer your questions too. To subscribe, click on the link in the show notes. I have some special bonuses for my earliest subscribers. And as always, a big thank you to my show's producer, who happens to also be the audio engineer who recorded the 13 Things Mentally Strong Couples Don't Do audiobook, Nick Valentine.
This episode is brought to you by the Yap Media Podcast Network. I'm Hala Taha, CEO of the award-winning digital media empire, Yap Media, and host of Yap Young and Profiting Podcast, a number one entrepreneurship and self-improvement podcast where you can listen, learn, and profit. On Young and Profiting Podcast, I interview the brightest minds in the world, and I turn their wisdom into actionable advice that you can use in your daily life. Each week, we dive into a new topic like the art of side hustles, how to level up your influence and persuasion, and goal setting. I interview A-list guests on Young and Profiting. I've got the best guests, like the world's number one negotiation expert, Chris Voss, Shark Damon John, serial entrepreneurs Alex and Layla Hormozi, and even movie stars like Matthew McConaughey. There's absolutely no fluff on my podcast, and that's on purpose. Every episode is jam-packed with advice that's going to push your life forward. I do my research, I get straight to the point, and I take things really seriously, which is why I'm known as the podcast princess and how I became one of the top podcasters in the world in less than 5 years. Young and Profiting podcast is for all ages. Don't let the name fool you. It's an advanced show. As long as you want to learn and level up, you will be forever young. So join podcast royalty and subscribe to Young and Profiting podcast, or YAP, like it's often called by my YAP fam, on Apple, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.